How to be saved, the gospel message in 7 words. Now, you have verses 8 through 10 at the top of your handout, but let me read all of Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in his mercy, because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now at the top of your little page you've got there, I've got these verses. These 3 verses are 3 of my favorite verses. I mean, we all have favorite verses, but I like it because this gets right to it. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so, that's what you've got up there, Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. Now listen, here are the 7 words. Listen, saved by grace through faith, for good works. Maybe that's 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 8. I put good works in there and made it yellow too. Okay, but anyway, 3 things that are important. We're saved by grace because of our faith, but some people stop there and say, well, I'm saved. I'm not going to be lost. I can do what I want. Now, we're not saved by our works, but the Bible teaches that we'll have works. As James says, faith without works is dead. If people don't try to do some good things, they don't really believe. They can say, I got grace, I'm okay, I can live like I want to. Well, God will forgive us of our sins. We're not lost when we do something, but we're supposed to be in touch with him and keep trying to work closer and closer. And the Bible says we're to follow in the steps of Jesus. And God created us for good works through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so that's what we want to talk about today. It's so simple. You're probably saying, John, I already know that. Yes, that's good. Just like last Sunday, you knew everything Keith was going to say about Easter because I slipped in the back. I thought, old stuff. I love it, I love it, I love it. And I still remember verses I learned when I was a kid. I'll bet you most of you right here can say John 3:16 from the old King James Bible. Let's try it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now they say eternal life, but I learned it as everlasting. Most of the verses I began to learn some too from the different Bible versions. And I think this today, I took this out of the ESV. I play with different versions all the time. But I still like to go back and see what the King James Version says, because that was the way I learned it. Well, anyway, but they all say this, we're saved by grace through faith for works. So that's pretty simple. Well, I'm just going to talk about these. I don't think I'll probably talk as long as Keith does sometimes, but you never know. I don't know everything that I'm going to say. I've watched Keith. He runs it right down to the end. I've seen that. Yeah. I've known Keith for a long time, by the way. Over 40 years. When Keith and Donna, I think it was right after their marriage, they were actually in our house. I've never told this before. I've never even said it to Keith. I can remember, he'll probably deny it. I can remember, we had kids that age, you know. And I remember Keith lying back on the floor like this. So was my son. I mean, I can just remember him doing that. And the girls were sitting up there, but the boys were down on the floor. Also, the son that he did it with, he and his wife were with me the last couple days. They just left yesterday. And I asked him if he remembered. He said, I guess I do, he said. So I'll have to ask Keith sometime if he remembers that. He may deny it, but that, no, we loved him. We loved him. We loved him. And our kids, because he was doing some ministry at that time at Fraser, our kids loved him too. So it was all good. But I put down here, we are saved by God's grace through Jesus. And Jesus said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfect in your weakness. Well, how many of you liked Billy Graham? Yeah, I liked Billy Graham. I remember when he kind of was coming into his own. And actually, I was in school at Iowa State. I didn't go right away. I graduated from high school in 1957, a long time ago. And they said, you're not college material. And I wasn't, so I didn't go to college. I was a farmer up in Iowa. But then after 6 years, I felt a calling to go to college to either teach or preach. Well, to make a long story short, I went. I thought I was going to go into preaching, but I went into teaching. But anyway, while I was a student at Iowa State University in Ames, Iowa, I wanted to go hear Billy Graham because he was going to be in Omaha. And I still remember that because I was working and I was doing things, but I got on Friday afternoon, middle of the afternoon, I took off. And I went down to the highway, which was Highway 80. It's before they had interstates. And right there was a guy thumbing his way. We used to stop for hitchhikers. So I stopped and said, where are you going? He said, Omaha. I said, well, get in. So am I. We talked a little bit, and I said, why are you going to Omaha? He said, to hear Billy Graham. I said, so am I. And I said, where are you from? He said, Mississippi. I said, what? He said, yeah. I said, I have a trucker friend, and he was coming north, and he had to go up to Minneapolis, and he's got to be there a couple of days. And he said, I'll drop you off, but I can't take you to Omaha, and maybe you can get a ride. And he said, he'll be back here Sunday morning, coming back through to pick me up. I said, I can bring you back. Don't you worry. So anyway, we drove. We had a good time there, and we went to his Friday evening thing that was out in a big old football arena in Omaha. And we went to that, and then they had some stuff the next day, and we went to that, and we went to Billy preaching a thing in the afternoon. Then that night we went. But anyway, the first night we went, and I said, now, where are you staying? He said, I don't have a place. I said, well, I just got a little room, I'm sure. It's a single bed. Would you like to sleep on the floor? He said, I'd love it. So I remember him sleeping on the floor, and we got up the next morning and went. And I remember we came back that Saturday night, and I said, now, we're going to get up early Sunday morning because I was doing a little preaching. I got to preach on Sunday back here. He said, sounds good to me. I got to be back in good time, too. I said, okay. So we drive back. We're talking the whole way. And we get back, and I let him out there at about, I think, about 9 o'clock because at that time I didn't preach till 11, but I had to be there at Sunday school. And he said, this is going to work right. He's coming through here yet this morning. I said, how do you know? You haven't been? Oh, he said, we know each other well. And he promised he'd be here, so he'd be looking for me. Well, funny thing is, we kind of lost touch with each other, so that's the end of that story. But I thought it was a wonderful thing. And I always kind of, and this was when a lot of people wouldn't, okay, he was a black dude, and it didn't make any difference to me, but he said, down where I am, he said, no white guy probably would have picked me up. Very few of them would have, he said. So we had a good talk, that's all I remember, but that wasn't what I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about Billy Graham. I heard him say this, you know, he didn't die till around 15 years ago, and he was an old guy. And I heard him tell this story, and I'd heard it earlier, because I used to watch a lot of his preaching. And he was telling how that when about 60 years ago, he said, so he'd have probably been about 40 at the time, or in the 30s, he said, I was driving a car, and I was in South Carolina, and he said, I was going a little bit fast. A policeman came up behind me. His lights came on. I stopped. He said, you were going too fast. Billy said, yes, I was. I need to pay a fine. He said, well, you'll have to go to the judge anyway. So Billy Graham went to the judge, and he came before the judge and he said, okay, you've been charged with ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Okay, you're going speed limit 10 miles over. Guilty or not guilty? Billy Graham said, I'm guilty. He said, well, that'll be a dollar for each mile over, $10. I mean, it'd be $200 now, you know. And Graham said, okay, I'll do it. Wait, this guy says, wait, I know who you are. I paid it for you. Billy said, let's go out and eat. I'll take you to eat. And he said, we did. And Billy Graham said, when he paid that, it was like God, when we confess our sins, takes care of them. But he said, we have to serve him too. And I wanted to take that guy out to eat. I never forget that story, how important that is. God will forgive us if we confess our sins. There's no sin that he won't forgive if we earnestly plead and ask God's forgiveness and say, please guide us and help us. Of course, we're also told we have to forgive others too. We know that. Sometimes that's a little tough for us. How many people have ever, anybody ever driven across the Golden Gate Bridge or know where it is in California? You know where it is? San Francisco. They built that bridge, see, I was born in 1939. They built that bridge before I was born. But I read about it later, and I liked it when my wife and I, back in the late 70s, we were going out to see some relatives, and we drove, I was crazy. I'd drive a long way, you know, and not stop. And we actually had got a little money, and we went out there, and I said, I want to drive across that bridge. She says, yeah, I think that's good, and I think it cost us a few bucks then, but it was okay. And then I said, you know, you can walk across it for free. And I was a runner. I don't look like I could ever run. I said, I want to go across it. She says, John, that's kind of stupid, isn't it? And I said, yeah. I said, here. And so she sat in the car in a little park there, and she could kind of see me. And I went running across. It's about 2 miles. And then I ran back, and I came to the car. She said, well, I'm glad you got back. But what I was going to tell you is when they were building that bridge, and it's funny because we're really thinking about bridges now because we know what happened to the one up in Baltimore. When they were building that bridge, they were having trouble keeping the workers. The workers were just so slow. And the reason is because two or three of them had fallen off, and a couple of them were killed when they hit the rocks below. It's a long ways. You think they'd fall in the water, but I mean, there's rocks around there. Well, the workers were very afraid. And somebody said, I have the answer. We'll put a net, a big net. And they said, that'll be costly. He said, it will work. Well, they weren't getting much done, so they put a big net under. And as soon as they did, the workmen were not nearly as afraid. And the funny thing was, hardly anybody fell. But if they did, the net caught them and they were saved. And I thought, what an example that is. If we know that if we stumble, God will take us, doesn't mean we're going to try to do daring stuff. But it does mean I know that if I fall, I can pray to God. Is there anybody here that hasn't sinned in the last week? I just wanted to see. If you'd have said yes, I'd have said you just sinned right now. Told a lie. Well, you know, I told you I grew up in Iowa, which by the way, if the Iowa girls can win that basketball game, I'm going to start wearing an Iowa shirt for a few days. Yesterday, after they had won one, and I was with my son and his wife, we went out for coffee, and I had a big old Iowa sweatshirt on. It caught a lot of attention, especially people that knew what had happened and why. They said, you from Iowa? I said, I used to be, and I'm proud of it. The guy said, well, that's too bad. I'm from Minnesota. We don't. You got to understand, it's kind of just a joke. But anyway, so I grew up. I was a farmer, and I showed cattle at the fairs. And we had mostly corn and soybeans, but we also had some. Well, we called it crick pasture. You'd think creek. Don't ask me, but in Iowa we said crick, C-R-I-C-K. Nobody had creeks, they had cricks. But anyway, crick's something you get in the back of your neck, I know. But we had crick pasture. But I remember the cattle would graze out there. Well, let me ask you a question. Did you ever have a dog that chewed grass? Yeah, me too. I had a little dog back then. He would just chew along grass and spit it out and chew it out. And he'd do that for a while, and then he'd quit. Well, I got to tell you a story. This man lived on the edge of a town. He didn't have much money. He just lived there with his big old dog. And they loved each other. But the man just had trouble making enough money, but he did stuff in town. He'd go in and do carpentry work and painting, and plumbing was kind of new, but he had a pipe wrench. He could do stuff like that, and he was pretty good. Well, one day he said to his dog, he said, doggy, his big old dog had knocked him down. He was crazy, you know, if you've had a big dog like that. He said, dog, he said, I'm going to town. I got a good job. I'll probably get enough food for the next few days. So be good while I'm gone. Well, he let him outside, but he had a fenced-in area, and he shut the gate, so the dog was out there grazing around while he was gone. He got into town with his bag of tools. He walked in. It was only a few blocks. He got in. He said, I'm here. And she said, I've been looking for you. And he said, well, let me come in. She said, sure, I want you to fix some plumbing. And he opens up his bag. he can't find his wrench. He said, oh, I can't find my wrench. She said, well, you got to have that wrench. I'll have to get somebody else, but I'd like to have you. He said, I must have lost it. When I left the house, I came outside. I know I had it. I must have lost it along the way. I'll go back. So he takes off running along, looking like this, and really, he's looking around. He's just feeling kind of forlorn, you know. He gets to the gate. He still hasn't found it. He opens the gate. It's a big old dog. Oh, by the way, he was so big, and so he was... He called him, it sounded like a big hammer, he called him a mace, you know, beat you and stuff, you know what I mean? It's also a perfume, I know, but anyway, so, and he said, he comes in there, he says, oh, he said, mace, he said, I can't find my wrench. The dog knocks him down, and something shines in his eye. He looks over there. The dog has been mowing. There's his wrench. He said, oh, a grazing mace. How sweet the hound that saved my wrench for me. Well, that's not quite right. We know who wrote that song. A guy named, and we sang it a while ago, a guy named John Newton. John Newton was born on a very important day. Important people were born that day. I heard about a guy that was born exactly 214 years after him. He also had the name John. Oh, July 24th. That was my birthday. He was born 214 years before me. But you remember, when he was a youngster, he was on a slave ship. And they'd go get slaves and bring them to England. And he got where he was heading this whole thing up. And then one day he came to know the Lord. He said, oh, this is terrible. And he became an abolitionist, the best one in England. And he actually lived 2 years past when it was abolished. Slavery was abolished in England. But you know the song he sang, the song he wrote, the song that's the best known Christian hymn was Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. We sang that a while ago. I'm liable to, there's a verse I like. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, there's no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Well, that was a verse that was added later, but it's one of those verses I like. So I tell that story, I hadn't told it for a long time, about a grazing mace because it hits the point, Amazing Grace. Well, okay, we're saved by grace, but the second thing is we're saved through faith. Through faith. And I wrote these down. Have faith in God who sent Jesus. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We must believe he exists and reward those who seek him. That's what it says in Hebrews 11:6. The thing is, I could find a lot of verses about grace. I could find a lot of verses about faith. And there's so many faith hymns, aren't there? Really, when you stop and think how many faith hymns there are. A lot of hymns talk about faith. We talk about my faith looks up to thee. Faith is so important. I have another question to ask you. How many people ever heard of Dallas Theological Seminary? Okay, it was founded back in 1924. I've done my research on this. But Dallas Theological Seminary, well, if you haven't heard of that, have you ever heard of a guy named David Jeremiah? That's where he got his degree. Charles Swindoll? Another one. There was another guy there that was actually, he got his degree there, but then he wound up on, and he taught there for many years. He didn't die till this century. His name was Howie Hendricks. Did you ever read? I read a lot of Howie Hendricks books. I was kind of impressed with him back in the 80s. At that time, I actually came down here to work for the Air Force. People say, why would you move to Montgomery, Alabama? I couldn't figure why I would either, but I came to Montgomery, Alabama, and I loved it. I loved it. And my wife and I loved our time here. And, of course, most of you know I lost her a couple years ago. But anyway, Howie Hendricks, well, I was up there. At that time, I was kind of heading up that we had an academic instructor school. And we taught teachers how to teach better. And it's funny, it got such high prominence, and it wasn't because of me, it was because of other people, that we also had people from other agencies saying, could we come and do a short, have a short course there? So we would, every once in a while, we'd offer 1 week short course for people from different agencies. Howie Hendricks, who was a well-known speaker and writer, wanted to come. So I got to know Howie Hendricks while he was there. And by the way, John Ed Matheson found out he was there and said, maybe we can get him to come and do a, and he came a couple of months later and did a three-day thing at Fraser. But what I was going to say, well, I kind of got off of it here. It was founded in 1924 by a guy named Dr. Lewis Sperry Schaefer. I had to write that down. I don't know who he was, but he founded it. But a story that I guess is true. I've heard it, and I was asking Howie Hendricks if it was true, and he said, yeah, it was. They got into such financial difficulty about the time of the Great Depression in the 30s, 1930s, and they were going to lose everything. Their loans that they had, everything was going to be foreclosed by noon a certain day. So this Schaefer, the guy who had started it, who was there as president then, called all of his faculty in, said, we're going to have a big prayer meeting that morning and just see what might happen. So he told his secretary, he said, don't let anybody bother us. We're going to have a prayer meeting, just us and God. She said, I understand. Well, they'd been going for a while. It's kind of funny because there was a guy named Harry Ironside. And Harry Ironside was a little bit different. And the rest of them liked him, but he would kind of say funny things. So it came his turn to pray. He said, oh, God, we know that you own the cattle on a thousand hills. Sell some of them for us, would you? And the rest of them just kind of looked at him like that. About that time, a big old Texan came to the door. And secretary said, come in. He talked to her and said, I need to get in to see. He says, you can't get in. Nobody can get in. He said, well, he said, I just sold a bunch of cattle. And he said, I was going to do something with the money, and I couldn't make it work. And I just had this feeling that you needed it. She looked at it. So she goes to the door and knocks. And the president said, don't bother us. She knocks again. Father, he said, I told you not to bother. She said, take this. He said, hey, Harry, God sold some cattle. There may have been more to the story, but that's really supposed to be true. It may have been that he knew that they needed that. I don't know. But this big old cowboy sold a bunch of cattle. So the point is simply this. You know, we got to have faith. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember clocks that used to have pendulums on it that go back and forth? We had one, you know, you had to wind it every 7 days. It was a big old grandfather clock because it only would go to 8 days, and after that it lost its, kind of like, they didn't have batteries. You had to wind them. It'd be like a battery ran out, but they didn't have batteries then. Well, there is a law of the pendulum. And what that says, if there is nothing keeping it going, it just keeps going slower and slower and slower. And you would believe that. You know, if you held something and had a rope coming down from there and held it over here and let it go his way, it wouldn't quite come as far every time it'd go down until it finally stopped. Well, there was a student that was doing supposed to teach a demonstration performance talk. And they do that, and it was supposed to demonstrate something and make the point by actually using some kind of an item or object. So this student was going to do his 10-minute talk on the law of the pendulum. And so he explained all of that, and he showed how that, you know, something. He said, look, and it would just kind of, and he said, you all believe it, don't you? Yes, they do. And the teacher said, you believe it too, don't you? Oh, I sure do. He said, good. He had had the janitor that night before have a big one hung up there, and it dropped down. He said, well, I got not finished. This thing drops down. It's got a real sharp blade on it. He says, teacher, sir, I know you believe, but would you please come up here and stand with a, put your back right against the board here? He said, now you know it'll never come back to you. He said, yeah. He pulls it down and pulls it over and lets it go. But as it's coming back, the teacher hits the floor. I said, do you really believe? The teacher said, yeah, but I don't quite have enough faith. And the student said, we wouldn't either. That's a good story on faith, isn't it? The pendulum story. So you might believe it If somebody was driving at you and said, don't worry, I will stop just before I hit you. Just stand right there. I bet you wouldn't stand in the middle of the street. I bet you'd hit the, yeah, you would. Well, you see, remember Jesus when he healed blind Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus, I can't even say it, but you know who I mean. But anyway, you remember Jesus was walking through there and the people were yelling and making a noise. And this guy said, who is that? And his friend said, it's Jesus. Oh, Jesus of Nazareth that can heal? I want to see him. And he said, shh, you got to be quiet. And he starts in, Jesus, Jesus. And the crowd said, shut up, shut up. Got to get out of here. He said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he said, yes. He said, are you the Jesus of Nazareth? Are you the one that can heal and even heal the blind? Jesus said, yes. If you believe, I can heal you. He said, I believe you. He said, go your way, you can see. Now, we don't know much more about him, but I'll bet the rest of his life was changed because he had faith. It also tells us in the Bible, Jesus can't help us if we don't believe him. You must have faith. And I think we do, but we'd have to all admit there's times when we don't rely on our faith the way that we should. A little girl and her parents were staying in a hotel. They were traveling. She was about 12 years old and she was blind. And they said, hey, let's go out. We got to buy some things here and we'll come back. She says, I am so tired. Can I just cuddle up in bed and I'll just stay in there and sleep right now? It's been a ride. I'm just sleepy. They said, okay, but you stay right here. She said, I'll do it. So she stayed there and really went to sleep. And while the parents were gone, a fire broke out in the hotel. And they were getting everybody's attention, but that little girl was sleeping so soundly. And the fire trucks came up, and they heard there was still a little girl up there on the fourth floor, the top floor. And they couldn't get their ladders that high. So they hollered out with a big old speaker. And the little girl heard it. She came to the window. She couldn't see. They said, don't worry, it's on fire. She said, I can smell it. Will you just jump? We'll catch you. We got a net. She backed away. They kept trying. She wouldn't do it. And then her parents showed up. And her dad jumped out of that car and said, honey, it's your father. Jump. Everything's okay. She said, okay. Because her father had talked to her and she knew that voice. If we're in touch with Jesus, if we're in touch with God, if we let the Spirit work with us, then we will know when he asks us to do something. And I think most of us know when we're supposed to do certain things, and we can pray about it, we can ask other friends, but especially we got that feeling with God. As I've had more and more time alone, because Ann passed away, it'll be 2 years this summer, most of you know, with her 19-year battle with Alzheimer's. But I was living alone anyway because I had to have her in a nursing home. I've spent a lot of time reading the Word. Now, I can't remember like I used to, even though I've read it. I mean, every one of my Bibles is all marked up. This is not as marked as some, but it's pretty marked up. And I'll read stuff and I'll think, gee, I've only read that 40 times before. Now it makes sense to me. And then next time I'll do it. But you know, you keep reading and you keep praying. You don't have to be a wonderful prayer. You can just sit there and talk to God. You know what I can't do? When I can't sleep at night or if I have to get up, I just sit down or I'll go back to bed and start praying and I always fall asleep. And I think that's okay. I just got so relaxed because God is with me. Well, it's so important that we have faith. Well, but the last thing I want to talk about is the good works. And this is where, this point here is the one that sometimes people just ignore. And I wrote down, do good works for God, for we were created in Christ to do the works he prepared for us. I don't think I may not have written quite the same thing up there. It looks like by the power of the Holy Spirit. But anyway, work heartily as for the Lord and not men, and you'll receive an inheritance for your reward. So it's important that we do good works. Now people say, well, I can't do a lot of stuff. You know what? If you're just friendly to somebody, if you just tell somebody, hey, God loves you and so do I. I go and do a lot of speaking in independent and assisted livings. And you know what I say is, if you will just be kind to that person, or if that person happens to be blind but you can still read, say, let me read you some of the Bible, and they'll love it. And that's something you can do. I've got friends that don't do much except they're believers, and they take Meals on Wheels to people. And I think, wow! Or they help some little kiddies. I mean, I'm just telling you, everybody doesn't have to be a preacher like Keith. No, because we're all called to different things. And sometimes it's just helping the right person. I mean, I can tell you time after time about ministers that were great, that were led to Christ by somebody that just really was unknown totally, just because that person let Christ show through them. So there's little things that we can do. And as we get older, we can't do the same things we did. But the people that have a heart to help others is so important. And too many people will just kind of ignore what's going on. But we're supposed to do good works. Faith without works is dead. A man was showing, he said, that's an interesting little boat you got there. Why do you have faith written on one and works on the other? He said, I'll show you. And he started to just pull the faith one out and just did the good works, and he kept going in a circle. He said, but it also is this way. You may say you have, faith but no works. Works but no, you got to go together, faith and works. And I heard that years ago, and I was up, had to go to some stupid course up at Harvard. They sent me, anyway, sounds bigger than it is. But I was up there, and right on the Harvard campus, there's a river that comes through. And I remember going out and looking on the bridge, and they had these contests where people were rowing, like there were like 10 people in a boat, and they're rowing. And boy, I'll tell you, but it was funny. When they'd come down and turn around, they'd lift this one, and then they'd do it again. And I keep thinking of that when I think about faith and works. And you think about, you got to have them both. And people say, I've got faith, I believe. What are you doing? Oh, I'm sleeping a lot and watching television. And what are you watching? Oh, anything I can find. There's good stuff you can watch, There's good music you can listen to, There's some things you probably want to avoid. I'll probably watch the Iowa game this afternoon if I can stay awake. I don't know. I woke up pretty early this morning. If not, you can always, if they win it, I'll go back and watch the summary thing. I know that, but they got a tough battle ahead of them. Well, we can take more time talking about what good works are. They really are just loving God so much you want to follow and do what He wants you to do. And it's important. Just our lifestyle is so important. Just our lifestyle, what people see in us. I don't want people to see everything about me very badly. I really don't. But anyway, it's important. Well, I got so much stuff written down here. Look, I didn't even get to my notes. Be glad I didn't look at all my notes. I might remember something here that I wanted to say. I brought all these pieces of paper up here. I don't even know what's all in here. I don't think there's anything else I want. It's funny because I do a lot of notes because I prepare, but then I don't use them much. But I know what I'm talking about. Well, you may not think I know what I'm talking about. Let me tell you that we could, we had some good songs today. We could sing songs about amazing grace. We could sing songs like faith. Faith, faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Or we could sing songs about work. Work for the night is come. I don't know the words, so I won't go any farther. I thought maybe I had them here. Oh, look at this. Here's some. Well, I just found something. I didn't know if I had it. Here's another one. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Work for the night is coming, work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work for the Father's glory. Work to tell of the Son. Work by the power of the Spirit. Worship the three in one. Now, you've never heard that verse because I just wrote it. That's why you never heard that verse. Well, the thing I want to leave with you is something that we all know. We are saved by grace because of our faith, so that we might do good works. It's as simple as that. And there's the whole thing that we had. I like to find little images and use them. And sometimes I've got one Bible study I do that I actually use slides, and so then I try to dress them up a little bit to keep attention. So I was glad I had those, so I just kind of flipped it over here too. Well, let me. I know we prayed, but let me close again with prayer, and I don't know how you actually close this out, but let me just pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you that we do know you as Lord and Savior. And God, we thank you that you save us not by our works, but save us because of your grace. We thank you that it became easier when you sent Jesus to die for us as you has always planned to do. And when Jesus came and became a human being like us, yes, he was God in the flesh, but he was in the flesh. And even though at the very end he was praying, God, if it be your will, take this cup from me. But he said, not my will, Father, but yours. Because Jesus was of the flesh at that time. And then, God, we thank you so much that he was resurrected as we celebrated last Sunday. And Father, we thank you that he's gone to prepare a place for us, but he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's always been part of you, God, Father, Jesus. We know it always has. We know that even Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And Father, we just thank you. But we just want to lift our prayers to you and say thank you for the grace. Help our faith to keep growing stronger and stronger and stronger. And let other people see our faith through the works that we do. And we know we can do those by your power. Because Jesus, when you left, you said the Spirit is here. It will give you power. And we know that's true. So we just lift our prayers to you now, Father, and each one that's here and one that couldn't be here today. And we ask especially you be with Keith and Donna. And Father, we just lift our prayers now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.